Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for coming, visiting us here at Kingdom Life Church. I am grateful and honored to be before you this morning. Thank you for choosing us this morning for your word. I have a word from you, for you, straight from God. First, I want to give honor to our pastor, Pastor Michael Phillips, and Dr. Anita Phillips, for the wonderful work that they are doing. God has opened up an opportunity for them, and they have ran through it, and God is blessing them. I also want to give honor to my wife, First Lady-elect Arielle Morton. God bless her. Keep praying for my wife. She is just such an amazing woman, and I just want to give you honor, honey. God bless you this morning. I want to go right into the Word of God. God has a word for you. Open up your Bibles. If you have a phone, if you have a Bible. So go with me to Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 16. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. So when you have that, we're going to get right into it. The Bible says this. It says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon when he had shaved and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. I want to make this point to you. When we acknowledge God in our dreams, we will unlock its purpose and we will avoid a life of unfulfilled promises. If we acknowledge God in our dreams, we will unlock its purpose and avoid a life of unfulfilled promises. My topic today, I want to talk to you about seeing God in your dreams and what happens when we don't see God. Today, I want to talk to you about seeing God in our dreams and what happens when we don't see God. If you got a second, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you for another opportunity to receive your word. I ask that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those that are hearing the sound of my voice. God, right now, have your way. Hide me behind your cross. I need you to do what you want to do. It has to be from you, Lord, and not from me. And I have opened up my heart and my mouth for you to fill it. God, help us understand what you're doing in our dreams and give us the power so that we don't take it for granted, we don't abort it, and we don't leave it astray. We want to know and receive everything that you have for us. And if you believe that prayer, say amen, amen, amen. This story begins in a very tense family dynamic, right? It's like almost like something off of a Maury Povich show, right? This family has one father, 12 sons, and four mothers, right? So you got 12 sons and four baby mamas, right? And what makes this family dynamic even more tense is that the father, Jacob, loves his son, Joseph, more than the other 11 sons. And this love that Jacob has for his son, Joseph, is an outward display. So it's not just a private thing that he has. He's doing it overtly in front of all the other 11 boys. And this causes obvious tension within the household, right? And the brothers hate Joseph. I mean, they hate him. Right. And so to make matters worse, Joseph comes and starts sharing these two dreams to his family. And both of these dreams use metaphors and symbolism that describes the whole entire family bowing down before him. And the response from his brothers is hatred. But the response from his father, who loves him more than any of the other brothers, is a strong expression of disapproval. He doesn't like what he's hearing his favorite son say. And before I can go any further, I need to explain what the word dream means in biblical sense, right? The dreams that comes from God, it comes from a Hebrew word, halom, which is a series of mental images, emotions, and thoughts occurring during your sleep. And so, just so you know, God used dreams in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as a source to communicate. A source to communicate his word, reveal himself, and to forewarn certain things that were going on. This is how he conveyed what he wants to do through you, right? But how many of us know what it's like to have a dream? Share it with the closest people you know, and their reaction is totally different than what you imagine it would be, right? You tell somebody your dream, and your bestest friends in the world, right? Your family, and their response is completely contrary to what you imagine. You imagine support. You imagine affirmation. You imagine encouragement. You imagine that they would be excited, right? You felt those types of things from the dream, so you expected that you will receive that. So what happens when you tell people what God showed you, and then all of a sudden, they get offended? They get hurt. They get angry. You tell them your dream, and they get disappointed. They get quiet on you. I thought that when God gives us something, it's supposed to uplift. It's supposed to encourage. It's supposed to build. It's supposed to excite. But what God showed you, what God showed me, is cutting the people closest to me. And the people that loves me the most, they're angry. They're being cut. Could God have given you a broken dream? A dream that doesn't work? A dream that's just all the way broken? This marriage you gave me, I've dreamt for it. It's broken. These kids that I prayed for, that I wished for, they're broken. This job I prayed for, it doesn't work for me anymore. It's broken. It must be broken. Because no one wants to deal with me. I must be broken. These thoughts that I'm thinking in my mind, is my mind broken? I used to have ambitions and dreams, but those dreams God gave me are broken. The dream is broken because it's not working. It's not working the way he showed me it was supposed to work, the way God showed me in the dream. And I told my closest relatives, because they are a part of this dream. And you think they would be excited. You think that they would be enamored and celebratory, that they are a part of the dream. But they are a part of the dream, but because they are not a part of the design, they don't want to be a part of the process. They don't have access to the dream, but they have access to you. But you and the dream are not synonymous. They can't trust the dream if they don't trust you. But you and the dream are not synonymous. You are not the dream. It's God's dream. It's his message that he gave you as a vision But we confuse the person with the message. We do it all the time. We live in a culture that tries to destroy the message by destroying the messenger, even if the message is positive, right? Come on, you hear it all the time. Don't play that music anymore because of what happened. And we do that. Don't watch that show because of what happened. You can't watch that movie. You can't, because we can't separate the man or the woman from the dream. Martin Luther King was not the dream. He had a dream, but he's not the dream, right? And I'm about to go there. Like, so please listen, send this to your friends right now so they can tune in. I'm going to go there. Bill Cosby was not the dream. I don't agree with that stuff that he did. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he was not the dream. But Dr. Huxtable and the Cosby Show, that was a dream. That was a positive message for a certain community of people. He's not the dream, but the message was a dream. Steve Jobs is not the dream. But his Apple computer products, that's the dream. That continues to live on. And because we think if we kill the person, we'll kill the dream. But you can't kill a dream from God. A dream from God is his word. Jesus is the message and the messenger. They couldn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave his life and took it back up again. He got that power. God's word is everlasting. Listen, your dreams can never die. While everyone thinks the dream is you, meanwhile, you think the dream is broken. So now look at that. They think it's you, so they're angry with you and quiet, and they won't celebrate with you, but you think that the dream is broken. Now you're in this foreign place looking for things that don't even like you, that's out to kill you. And God gave you something, but instead of acknowledging him, you're wandering, looking for something that don't even like you. God gave you that marriage, but you're wandering around looking for stuff you know you're going to regret. That stuff that's in that world, they don't like you. God gave you that job that you prayed for, and he blessed you. But because your position or your income doesn't look like everybody's else, you're wandering around looking for things that are a waste of time. God gave you that time. I know you're single, but he's blessed you. And you're wandering around putting yourself in situations that is a waste of your time, and you're going to regret it. You're wandering around thinking it's broken. It's not broken. It's just blocked. You're blocking the dream by thinking it's about you. It's not about you. It's about him. He said, in his word, he says in Numbers 12:6, he says, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. And because you can't see past you, you're ready to go back to what hates you. The stuff you prayed many nights to get out. The stuff that you prayed to get out of your head. And now you're headed back because you don't see God in the dream. So now you're ready to divorce it. You're ready to abort it. You're ready to give up on it. You're ready to waste it. And because They believe you and the dream are synonymous. They are ready to destroy you because of that dream, not because they hate you. They want to kill you because of the dream, the dream that God gave you. They hated Joseph before because their father expressed his love for him more than he did for them. But they never thought about killing their brother. No, they never thought about killing him. They just hated him. But once he had that dream, they were ready to put an end to his life. The threat and perception of what your dreams could do can cause others to desire to put an end to you. I'm going to say that again. The threat and perception of what your dreams could do can cause others to desire to put an end to you. The dream God gave you is purposed to accomplish what he showed you in the dream. That's why the Bible says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He sent it through you. It's going to accomplish it. It's going to accomplish what he said, and he's using you. Instead of killing Joseph, the brothers throw Joseph into the pit, and they decide this. He's now sold off to a tribe in Egypt. And now Joseph is in a foreign land, and he ends up under the rulership of a man named Potiphar, an Egyptian man. And this Egyptian man immediately recognizes God in Joseph. He recognizes God in the man. And God blesses everything that he owned. So he immediately, because he sees God in the man, he puts Joseph in charge of everything that he had, everything that he owned. And because he did this, everything he owned was blessed. Come on. Potiphar didn't know nothing about no dream. He didn't know nothing. He didn't know anything about a dream, but he saw God in the man. And because he saw God in the man, he made the man in charge of everything. And because he acknowledged this, God blessed him and his whole household. Isn't it amazing that a non-believer can see when God is in something? Isn't that amazing? A non-believer can see it, that God is in something, and have enough sense to give the man of God authority over everything he owns. Isn't that amazing? But we as believers are still struggling to give God authority over our money, over our children, over our decisions, over our time while we are single, over our marriage, right? Don't you know your situation has to bow down to Jesus? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The Egyptian saw this and made him ruler over his entire house, put him in charge. But the Egyptian's wife couldn't see God in the man. Mm-mm. The Egyptian's wife couldn't see God in the man. She only saw the man. Stick with me because I'm going somewhere with this. She couldn't see God in the man. She only saw the man. And because she doesn't see God in the man, she devalues the blessing that her husband and her entire household is receiving. See, her lust for the man, she desired to have the man for herself. And her lust is so strong that she's ready to destroy the blessing her and her husband is receiving. Come on, somebody. Don't ruin the blessing of his presence for a moment of pleasure. Because she can't see God in it, she devalues it. because I don't see God on my job, I devalue it. Because I don't see God in my life, I devalue it. Because I don't see God in my marriage, I devalue it. Because I don't see God in my finances. And because I don't see God on my time, I devalue it. And she's trying to mess up it, her blessings. And Joseph recognizes that sleeping with somebody else's wife would be a great sin, a great transgression against God. And so he denies her day after day after day. Come on, somebody. How many of us know what it's like to be in a great situation? You're being appreciated. You're being a blessing. You're being blessed. Everybody around you being blessed. You got a good situation going on, right? And the devil comes out of nowhere trying to sabotage your situation. Someone from your past pops up, right? You're doing good, but somebody pops up on your Instagram or on your Facebook or some social media platform or at the gas station or something. A past habit is ready available. You don't know what's going on, and maybe an itch starts occurring. A habit comes back to your mind. An old idea. Come on. You're out now because of COVID is allowing us, the restrictions allowing us to move around some, so you're getting out and you're getting more attention. And you're not used to that. You're not used to that attention. You're not conditioned. You're not conditioned about for it. But how many of us know that if we resist the devil, he has to flee? How many of us know that? How many of us know that no weapon formed against you can prosper? Right? And day after day, the Egyptian's wife is coming after Joseph. And she finally gets her hand a hold of him. She gets her hands on him. And instead of allowing that temptation to take hold of him and his dream, Joseph runs. Joseph runs out of there. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if someone, including yourself, tries to devalue the blessing that is on the inside of you, you gotta run. Because that moment of pleasure, it ain't worth it. It isn't worth sacrificing God's presence or giving up the dream that he put on the inside of you. And so the Egyptian wife grabs a hold of his garment and he runs out. He flees without his garment. And when her husband comes home, when the Egyptian comes home, she lies on Joseph and says that Joseph was trying to take advantage of her, was trying to rape her. She couldn't see God in the man. She couldn't see God in the man. She only sees the man. So she doesn't value the blessing that comes with God's presence. And the Egyptian, so angry, so upset, throws Joseph, the man that was blessing him, God was in Joseph, but he had no choice. He throws him into a prison. And I want to bless somebody with this point. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But our obedience can be lied on. Come on, somebody. Your obedience can be lied on. But the dream that God gave you can never be lied on. They can lie on the man, but you can't lie on the dream. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Tap somebody right now. Give me a high five on the screen. Hallelujah. Tap. Text that in the text. Give somebody a high five. You can lie on me, on the man, but you cannot lie on the dream. Hallelujah. So they place him in the prison. And the chief jailer takes Joseph in, and he immediately sees God in the man. And what does he do? When he sees God in the man, he puts Joseph in charge over the entire prison, over all the inmates. It doesn't matter how high or low your situation may be, but the power of God will always give you charge and authority wherever you are. It doesn't matter. And so he's down here in prison, and he has authority over the whole prison because the chief jailer sees God in the man. And meanwhile, while he's there, God is giving him opportunities. And here's the opportunity. There's a cup holder and a butler that is placed in the prison. This is men who serve the Pharaoh. And they're instantly added to Joseph's care. And they're added to Joseph's care, and they're in prison because of their offense they had against the king of Egypt, because of their offense against the Pharaoh. But both of these men had dreams, and they're saddened because they don't understand, nor is there an interpreter. So they have these dreams. Look at this opportunity God has set up. And Joseph sees there's a need. Come on, somebody. He sees a need, and he asks, what's wrong? And they both conveyed that they had dreams they couldn't understand. And Joseph requests that the men tell them their dreams. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but your way out of the bondage that you're in is your availability to serve others. Your way out is your availability to serve others, regardless of your situation, who they are, regardless of what they look like, what they have done, regardless of their beliefs. Who you serve may be attached to someone or something that can break you out of that situation. Come on. Through this whole text of scripture, we haven't heard a word about a dream since he told his family, and they tried to kill him because of that dream, right? But the dream we once thought was broken, come on, somebody, is now made whole. The men asked if he was an interpreter, and he said interpretations belong to God. Come on. The moment we give God authority over our dreams is the moment what was thought was broken is made whole. Come on. The moment we give God full authority over our dreams is the moment what was thought to be broken is made whole. And so he interprets both of these men's dreams, right? And the cup holder, his dream was favorable. And Joseph says that you will be restored. But he says, but look, man, when you get out, tell them I'm down here so they can get me out of here. Joseph says, get me out of here. But to the baker, to the other man, the report wasn't favorable. And so when both were released, the interpretations of the dream came to pass the way Joseph described it to both men. But the cup holder, the one that was restored, forgot about Joseph. He forgot about him. He was restored and forgot about him for two long, long, long years. He was forgotten about for two long, long years. He was forgotten about. He was forgotten about. Have you ever been forgotten about? Have you ever been in a situation where you were just waiting? You're doing everything right and you're just waiting. And I'm here to tell you that some of us are embarking on that second year right now. I know I am. Hallelujah. The things you've been doing the last 2 years have been preparation for what God is about to manifest in your life. And so all of a sudden, in that 2-year mark, Pharaoh has a dream and nobody can interpret it. And that cup holder, that man that was restored, remembers Joseph. He remembers Joseph. They'll remember you when there's a problem to a situation they are confident you can solve. That is for you. They'll remember you when there's a problem to a situation they are confident you can solve. So as soon as they heard the news, they grabbed Joseph up. They shaved Joseph's face and changed his clothes. Come on, somebody. They changed his clothes. They changed his appearance. The Bible says, and the last shall be first. Where God is taking you, they won't be able to recognize you. Come on, you coming up on that. Some of us are in that second year. You should be celebrating right now. You should be screaming glory, hallelujah, because it's here. I'm telling somebody that it's here. God is about to change your position and your appearance. Come on. And the Pharaoh says to Joseph, the king of all of Egypt, I hear you can understand dreams. And Joseph says, it is not me. It is not in me. But God will give Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh an answer. And when you see God in someone else's dream, I got this. When you see God in someone else's dream, it will unlock what God showed you in your dream. That's right. When you are able to see what God is doing in somebody else's life, that will unlock what God is trying to do in your life. Who am I talking to? Once you are willing to serve God in the dream he showed someone else, God will use their platform to manifest the dream that he showed you. Do you see him? Come on, somebody. Do you see him? Because Joseph saw God in Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh put Joseph in charge over all of Egypt. I got another example. Pharaoh saw God in the man. And Joseph's dream was being fulfilled. You have the lock, somebody. You have the lock. But God in someone else's dream is the key to unlock the dream, to unlock the dream that God showed you. Come on, somebody. Joseph's brothers wasn't aware that God was in the dream. They only saw the man. And because they only saw the man, they devalued him. And when they heard the dream, they tried to kill him. The Egyptian man, Potiphar, he sees God in the man and gives him full authority over his entire household. And his entire household became blessed. The Egyptian wife ignores the blessings. She doesn't see God in the man. So she devalues him and gets the blessing thrown into prison. Do you see it? The jailer sees God in the man and gives him all authority over all of his prison, everything that he had. And the chief jailer was blessed. But it was there, in jail, locked up, contained, by just detached, by himself, alone, where Joseph finally acknowledges God is the source of the dream. And that was the key that got him out of prison. Come on, somebody. Your gift will make room for you. But acknowledging God is the source of your dream. And that source will open the door for someone else's dream. This led him to the Pharaoh of Egypt, who wasn't a believer. He's not a believer. But Joseph saw and acknowledged God in the dream. When we don't see God in it, we devalue it. But when we see God, we give him authority over it. Right? When we don't see God in it, we just devalue it. Oh, whatever. But when we see God, we give him authority over it. God shows in part. He gives you a part and someone else a part. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. Don't kill the dreamer, because you cannot kill the dream. And who am I talking to? Don't give up on your dream. It's not broken. It's just blocked. It's blocked because it's the other part to someone else's dream. God only gives us a part. Family, this is the season to serve and acknowledge God as your source and to see God in someone else's dream. Their platform is the launch pad for your dream. Your dream is the lock. And their dream is the key. Come on, somebody. Unlock your dream by serving God in someone else's dream. If you cannot see God working in the man, you'll only see the man and devalue the key to your dream. Don't devalue God in the man. Mm-mm. Because God has given him a dream that is the key and the launching pad to your dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week, I'm giving you an assignment. So you don't miss out on another season of fulfilling the dream that God put on the inside of you. I want you to write down the name of the person you are supposed to serve and support. That could be your boss. That could be your pastor. Come on, somebody. I just need you to touch and agree. That could be your pastor. That could be your boss. That could be a parent. That could be a person in the community, somebody that you are responsible for supporting. And I want you to pray for them every day this week. Write down their names, because they hold the key to unlocking the dream that's inside of you. Before I pray, I want to give you an opportunity to give into this ministry. This ministry is blessing people's lives. It's been a blessing to the community. It's been a blessing to the students that goes into this building. It's been a blessing to the parents. And I'm asking you that God pulls on your heart and gives you compassion for the work that we are doing in this community. If you would give. If you would give, we are changing lives every day. But we're looking for your support so that it's not a us, but it's a we. Let's be a we and give to KLC. You see our social media platform there. You can give any way you can. Be a blessing to our ministry as we continue to bless lives and our community. Before you go, let me pray for you. I pray that this message blessed you. I pray that it's touched your heart. Please share it with friends and family so they can start recognizing that your dream doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. So they can stop persecuting you and start loving what's inside of you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, what an honor to hear your words on today. God, I pray that the words that you just blessed us with permeate through our hearts and our minds, God, that it resonates with us forever, that we don't lose sight on your spirit and how it works, that it can work in anybody, regardless if they're believers or non-believers. But help us to recognize your dream when it is your dream, and give us the authority, give us the insight to serve someone else's dream so that our dream can be unlocked. God, I thank you for blessing us with the platform so that our dream can be fulfilled. If you believe that prayer, I pray that you say amen. I pray that heaven smiles on you. That is my prayer. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Share this with a friend and be praying our strength in the Lord. We'll be praying for you. God bless you.